Today's a WREL weather alert day. We have a wind advisory that goes into effect at 4 o'clock. And later this evening, a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. I'll show you the timeline and what you can see.
It is a busy morning commute. I'm tracking crashes and big backups in Wake, Durham, and Orange County. I'll show you how bad the delays are.
Duke Energy crews are preparing for power outages later tonight, coming up what they say you can do right now to protect your home from damage from that severe weather.
And one woman recovering after being seriously hurt in a stabbing in Wake County. What we've learned about the man charged in her assault. We have that and a lot more to get to for your Friday WREL Weather Alert Day. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for spending part of your Friday with us. You saw it right there, the Weather Alert Day here, third one in a week's time. Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with who's affected by it.
And everybody's affected by this one. We have a level 1 risk in our northern counties, and then from the Triangle area southward, it's a level 2 risk. The difference between today and Tuesday, Tuesday was a level 2 and 3 risk, so that really bumps up the amount of severe weather we tend to see. So we'll still have the potential for damaging winds. We just may have fewer instances of it than we did on Tuesday. We have a wind advisory that begins at 4 p.m. and lasts all the way until 6 a.m. on Saturday. This afternoon, winds gusting up to 30, but overnight tonight, winds gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour, even after the storms have moved through. The system looks a lot more dramatic than it did this time yesterday. We have tornado watches that are in effect. We have tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings along that line as it continues to move closer to us. As it gets closer, we'll start to see clouds thickening up after lunchtime. We're looking at mostly sunny skies this morning, some high thin clouds, certainly. By dinner time, we start to see the thunderstorms moving in, and you can see this is not likely to be a powerful line like we saw on Tuesday. That can cause a lot of severe storms right along the line as it moves through. This will be structured a little bit differently. We'll have individual cells that are likely to bring us some severe storms. Wind damage, certainly a good possibility. And then finally, the whole thing starts to move out as we get closer to midnight or so. And it does stay windy again after those storms. We'll see winds picking up this afternoon, gusting to 25 by around 2 to 4 o'clock. But then by 7 o'clock, we're gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour. So it's a dry morning commute for us. This afternoon, we'll start to see the winds gusting and clouds increasing, and then this evening we'll have the chance of some wind damage and isolated tornadoes. We take a live look at Sanford. It looks pretty out there, but you can start to see some of those high thin clouds moving in already. Our temperature officially 34 in the Triangle, but lots of 20s out there still. 29 in Goldsboro, 27 Roxboro, and in Southern Pines. A little bit of frost lingering out there too. Hour by hour, it's a cold start, but we'll be in the mid 50s by lunchtime and climbing into the low 60s as the storms move in. Brian?
It is 8:03 right now. We are watching delays in many parts of the Triangle this morning. We're going to start off with this crash we've been watching for a while now in Apex on US 1 northbound, just beyond the 540 interchange. Good news, in the past few minutes, they have reopened both lanes out there. We still have some activity, though, on the right shoulder. And even though traffic is so congested, you can't move over one lane to obey the state's move over law, you do need to at least slow down considerably. Right now, we're measuring a 22-minute delay overall on US 1 northbound between Sanford and Apex. It might be a good morning to consider using old US 1 perhaps for part of that, but remember, that's just a two-lane road, so it gets congested pretty quickly. Probably just need to allow that extra time right now so that you're not in a hurry as you get onto US 1 northbound coming in from Lee County. Want to head out to Hillsboro for an update on 85 northbound. Good news there, that earlier crash at NC 86 is cleared and the delays largely have cleared now heading out toward Durham. Also looking better on 85 southbound around Red Mill Road in Durham, where we had a report of an earlier crash between Red Mill Road and Glen School Road, measuring a 5-minute delay now between Butner and Durham. A couple other problems we're watching around the Triangle. We have a report of a crash with injuries in southern Wake County on Rock Service Station Road at Barber Bridge Road, and I am seeing some delays in both directions out there. Also still seeing some lingering delays on 40 westbound because of an earlier crash around the 440 interchange heading out toward Cary. The delays are pretty solid right now from the Lake Wheeler Road area all the way out toward US 1. And it looks like some improvement in North Raleigh with that crash at Creedmoor at Sawmill Road largely cleared at this point. Other major routes in the Triangle are looking okay. I'll have another update in about 10 minutes, and if you're hanging out into the car right now, you can hear that on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham.
All right. Thank you, Brian. As homeowners and businesses are still cleaning up this after this week's storms, Duke Energy crews are ready to roll out once again. This week's storms brought down trees and power lines across the area, including on a home in Wendell, which we'll show you. WREL's Kelsey Coffey is at Duke Energy headquarters in downtown Raleigh. Kelsey, this has been a very busy week for these crews.
Thank you.
Michelle, it sure has. We're in reset mode. That's the message this morning from the folks here at Duke Energy. Their teams are working to restock all of their inventory and gear up for tonight's storm. I want everyone to look at this. This is inside of a home after a tree came barreling down during Tuesday's storms. A huge hole was left in the roof. People whose homes were damaged like this one are working to make repairs fast, racing to get the job done before storms come again tonight. WREL spoke with Jeff Brooks from Duke Energy. He says their main concern tonight is fallen trees.
You may run into a situation where a tree suffered some damage during the previous storm, but didn't fall down. The limb didn't come down. And when it gets another push in the next storm, you may see some outages from that.
And what about you at home? How can you prepare for this severe weather? Well, Brooks says that it's important to make sure that all of the debris that could be in your yard from Tuesday's storm, that's all cleared out, just in case if we get some wind gusts, you don't want that debris flying around and potentially hitting your home. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
And you'll want to make sure you have the WREL News app for updates about today's weather. And be sure to turn notifications on so you get up-to-the-minute alerts to keep you and your family safe.
Breaking news in Fayetteville, where police are working to make an arrest after a shooting at an apartment complex left a person dead. Police were called about 9 last night to the Lake in the Pines apartments on Tamarack Drive. It's right off Rose Hill Road. Officers found a man suffering from gunshot wounds there. He died at the scene. His name and age have not been released yet. We're working to learn more about what led up to the shooting. We're also following some breaking news out of eastern Wake County this morning. A man has been arrested now in connection with a stabbing near Zebulon that sent a woman to the hospital. Wake County Sheriff's arrested Joshua Ed Richards and charged him with assault with a deadly weapon. This happened just after 10:30 last night at a home on Hopkins Chapel Road near the intersection of St. John's Church Road. Sheriff's office says Richards knew the victim. The person stabbed is identified as Lacey Eaton. Eaton had at least one stab wound. Investigators say this was an isolated incident.
New this morning, anti-war protesters are demanding the U.S. stop attacks in Yemen. Protesters gathered in Times Square and outside the White House overnight to protest U.S. and British strikes against Houthi targets. Many of them say the step is threatening to widen the war in Gaza. And fighter jets and Tomahawk missiles targeted Houthi radar systems, drone storage and launch sites late Thursday. A top U.S. Air Force official says more than 60 targets were hit in 16 locations. A Houthi official says at least 5 people were killed. President Biden says the strikes are a direct response to Houthi attacks against international ships in the Red Sea.
Breaking news, the United Kingdom is giving Ukraine more military funding as part of a new support package. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak arrived in Kyiv just a few hours ago to meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Sunak says Britain will boost its support of Ukraine in the next financial year to the tune of £2.5 billion, nearly $3.2 billion. The UK has been one of Ukraine's staunchest supporters since Russia's invasion nearly 2 years ago. 808 right now on your Friday. Changes are coming to Raleigh's skyline as Wells Fargo plans to move out of its downtown tower. Coming up, why economics professors say more companies may be following their lead.
Plus, it's been a part of our screens for 25 years for countless NFL games. Coming up, how the yellow first down line changed how we watch football.
And today is a WREL weather alert day. We have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. Wind damage is certainly a good possibility later on today. I'll walk you through the timeline.
We're at 812 right now on your Friday morning, and you can see some thin clouds up there above Wilson. I don't know if those whirligigs are spinning or what. We don't have much of a breeze out there, I suppose. So no wind chill. That's a good thing. Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center right now, because it is a WREL Weather Alert Day today, the effects of which we will see later.
Yes, boy, those whirligigs will be spinning fast as we get into the afternoon as our gusts start to climb to 25, 30. And I'll kind of walk you through that coming up in a minute. But let's take a look. A level one and level two risk for severe storms. We have the potential for damaging winds. That's going to be our biggest threat. It'll be a little different than Tuesday. Tuesday, we had a level two and three risk for severe storms. So we'll see fewer instances of wind damage, but there'll still be some out there. We can see some trees down, possibly on houses or cars, causing power outages. But it'll just not be quite as widespread as Tuesday. We do have a wind advisory that kicks in at 4 o'clock, lasts all the way to Saturday morning. So it's going to be a windy night even after the thunderstorms move on through. This storm is really getting cranked up. It looks a lot more powerful than it did this time yesterday. So we're looking at tornado watches there in the red shaded area. Currently, we have severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings going on along this line south of that warm front ahead of the cold front. So this storm has a history of producing some dangerous conditions, also producing some snow up into the northeast. We'll take a closer look at that in a minute. But you can see that red box there. That's a current tornado warning. The yellow boxes are our current severe thunderstorm warning. So again, this system has a history of producing severe storms. It's more likely as we get closer to 9 o'clock. You can see this colored area as this moves on up into our area. This is where we'll have the best chance of enough energy to have some damaging storms. And that happens between, say, 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. Not that we wouldn't see some isolated cells that could produce damage ahead of that, but that just looks like our most likely window. By 5 o'clock, we're starting to see that rain moving in. And instead of a big, powerful line like we saw Tuesday, we're going to see more individual cells popping up that could produce some wind damage. That tends to be a little less powerful than the line of thunderstorms that we saw on Tuesday. But nonetheless, we could still have some trees down or even some isolated tornadoes. We won't likely see as much rain as we saw Tuesday either. We're looking at an average of about half an inch of rain. There may be some spots that are a little bit drier or a little bit wetter. Roxboro is showing up at an inch right now, and Goldsboro is showing up at about a quarter of an inch. So it's going to be, you know, somewhere in between. Our wind gust forecast starts to pick up after lunchtime, gusting to around 25, gusting to around 45 overnight. And take a look at this snowfall potential with this system. That's going to be something that could cause airport delays through the weekend and into early next week. And behind that, we have some bitterly cold temperatures. Saturday, wind chills in the negative 30s. And we're going to be okay over the weekend, but we start to see all this cold air dropping in on us by early next week. We'll stop it right there at Wednesday. And look at that. Our wind chills drop into the single digits on Wednesday morning. That could change between now and then, but that is coming our way. Our high on Wednesday, 38. It'll be the coldest high since December of 22. So a big cold blast coming our way. For Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it's going to be a cold start at 32 and a cool afternoon at 48, but it does stay dry. Brian?
8:15 right now, Elizabeth. Want to head out to Apex. Good news there with that crash out at US 1 northbound just beyond the 540 interchange has cleared now. All lanes are open and those delays are looking a lot better. Just a 3-minute backup overall between Sanford and Apex. So some good news there. Some of the other trouble spots that we're still watching include that earlier crash on 40 westbound around the US 1 440 interchange between Raleigh and Cary. The crash itself apparently is cleared, but we're still seeing some lingering delays, partly related to that crash, but also this is the time of day where we tend to see some congestion out there, especially between the Lake Wheeler Road area out toward US 1, about a 7-minute delay overall there on the south side of Raleigh. Taking a look at another crash, a minor crash over on the east side of town on Newbern Avenue at Corporation Parkway. I haven't seen any big delay showing up with that one. Also a minor crash up in North Raleigh that I'm watching at Falls of Neuse Road at Newton Road, apparently affecting southbound traffic on Falls. Still have that crash in southern Wake County on Rock Service Station Road at Barber Bridge Road. And it looks like we just had a report of an incident over in the Zebulon area, working to pinpoint an exact location there. That earlier crash on 85 southbound in Durham right around Glen School Road has cleared. Traffic is flowing a lot more freely through that area.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, take a look at this brand new video into our newsroom. A car ends up in a massive sinkhole in New Orleans. That's the business district. You can see the front end of the car completely in the hole, the back end, and the tires hanging off the edge. Of course, this morning, crews are working to fill that sinkhole. Now, in recent days, this isn't the only one. A car and a school bus ended up in other massive potholes in that city. No word yet on what's causing these sinkholes to open up in New Orleans. Of course, that city is below sea level. So if you get any updates on this story, we'll keep you updated here in the WRA Live Center.
All right, thanks, Ken. New Jersey residents are torn between wading out flooding and moving to higher ground. This is video showing one man's basement flooded with water from a nearby river trickling right through his back door. The water has also taken over his backyard, about 2 feet of water there. Officials in Paterson, New Jersey, say 18 streets are closed and more could close soon. People there are watching and waiting for the river to crest and the flooding to potentially get worse.
Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty to 9 federal charges alleging that he failed to pay over $1 million in taxes. Prosecutors say that he enjoyed a lavish lifestyle while engaging in what they call a tax avoidance conspiracy, where they say that he avoided paying $1.4 million in taxes. He has since paid back the IRS what he owed plus penalties. His trial is set for June 20th. He could face up to 17 years in jail if convicted on all counts.
State authorities in Texas are blocking Border Patrol agents from several miles of the U.S.-Mexico border. The Texas National Guard is adding razor wire, fencing, and gates to shut off access to part of the Rio Grande in Eagle Pass. This happens as the number of migrant encounters in the area is down to about 500 a day. Less than a month ago, there were thousands each day. Texas Governor Gray Abbott posted to social media saying he's making it clear Texas will be a tough place to cross into the country.
After widespread demonstrations between pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian students on campus, 6 Jewish students are suing Harvard University over alleged anti-Semitism. That's according to the New York Times. The students claim professors have made anti-Semitism known in their courses and intimidated students who object. The suit calls for the removal of some professors. The university has not publicly commented on the lawsuit. Harvard is also facing federal civil rights investigations into allegations of anti-Semitism.
New this morning, protesters interrupted Florida Governor Ron DeSantis at an event in Iowa last night. These protesters, 3 of them, disrupted the event before they got escorted out. One of them charged onto the stage from the front row holding a banner that said, DeSantis, climate criminal. Security quickly tackled that man. DeSantis went on to blame the college system for the incident.
4 months after a deadly mid-air collision, the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels are preparing for a special event. 2 pilots were killed in an air race at the Reno-Stead Airport last September. Members of the group were at that airport this week, where the 60th anniversary Reno Air Races Association show will be held in October. Organizers say an air show is less risky than an air race, but they're still stressing safety. The Racing Association says the races will no longer be in Reno, adding they should know where the next one will take place by the end of March.
The city of Durham will soon add 20 new high-speed charging stations for electric vehicles. Durham has won a nearly $5 million grant from the Department of Transportation, announced to expand charging access. The new chargers will be installed near major highways like I-40 and I-85. It is part of a nationwide project. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the Biden administration wants half of all cars and trucks on the roads to be electric by the year 2030.
This is part of making sure that we keep the lead in America, the same as we did on the first generation of auto technology. We're going to do the same thing through the second great automotive revolution. We're underway on that right now, and getting communities the chargers that they need is a big part of that story.
And the grant requires the chargers to be located near major highways in underserved communities where the private sector might not choose to build them. The locations have not been chosen yet.
Go Raleigh is returning to full service on Monday. The public transit system reduced several routes in September of 2022 because of an operator shortage. The 11 routes that were reduced to hourly frequency will go back to making stops every 30 minutes. Go Raleigh warns time points may change with the increased service, so double check before you ride. The Carolina Panthers are going international. The team will play overseas next season. The team says it will travel to Munich, Germany. The Panthers have been preparing for this. The team has had an active social media presence in the area since 2019, trying to build a fan base there. There are also more than 200 German-owned companies in the Charlotte area. The date, opponent, and ticket information for that Munich game has not been released yet.
NFL playoffs start this weekend here on Fox 50 and WRAL, and there is always one certainty on game day, and we're talking about that yellow first down line, right? It's changed the way we watch football games, and this year that technology turns 25 years old. Back in 1998, networks were skeptical about this new virtual yellow line and how it would affect people and how they watch football. One NBC Sports producer, though, quickly became a believer during a preseason test run.
when I went into their truck and saw the yellow line and saw it, you know, in real context of football and the game, it was a no-brainer. This was going to be additive for the viewers.
And fun fact, Durham-based sports technology company SMT Visual Data Intelligence created that yellow first down line that we have all gotten so used to seeing watching those NFL games. Can't do without it.
No, it really helps you when you watch the game.
It's super cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we have you covered on all things NFL this weekend. Tomorrow afternoon at 4:30, Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans on WREL. Wild Card Weekend continues Sunday at 4:30. The Green Bay Packers will travel to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. That's right here on Fox 50. And then at 8:15, the Detroit Lions host the LA Rams on WREL. And the NFL is taking some heat over one of the other games. The Dolphins and Chiefs game will be streamed live on Peacock tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's the first NFL playoff game to air exclusively on a streaming service.
Cold weather or warm weather Dolphins going to a cold weather place. It's going to be freezing. Passengers on board that Alaska Airlines flight where the door blew out are suing Boeing ahead. We'll have the claim they say happened on that flight, what they're now requesting.
As you get into your car, tune to WREL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We have another WREL Weather Alert Day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner shows us what we can expect for today.
We have the timing likely to be during the evening. So from 5 p.m. to midnight, that's going to be the most likely time that we'll see storms. A level 1 and 2 risk for severe thunderstorms with the greatest risk damaging wind. It'll feel a little different than last Tuesday. We won't see as many storms becoming severe, but we'll still have some. Of course, there's the level 1 and 2 risk damaging winds are certainly possible around the area as we get through the evening. And winds will be gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour overnight and into early tomorrow. Checking out Apex, some high thin clouds already. It will continue to cloud up. It's been a cold start this morning near freezing. Temperatures will warm up into the upper 50s, so it's warm, but get that exercise in before 5 or 6 o'clock because that's when the storms will start. Brian?
Here at 827, a lot of improvement over the past 15 minutes or so, with a lot of these crashes that you see here on the map having been cleared just recently. Do have a new report of a crash in the past few minutes in the north part of Durham on Guess Road near Rose of Sharon Road. We are seeing some delays with that crash, reportedly a crash with injuries. Also over in Zebulon, watch for a disabled vehicle on NC96, not too far from the US 64 interchange. Major approaches into Raleigh are looking all right at the moment. A 3-minute delay on US 1 northbound, leaving Apex heading through Cary, and about a 5-minute delay on the south side of Raleigh, 40 westbound from South Saunders Street out toward US 1.
All right, thanks, Brian. People across the area are preparing for another round of severe storms. This comes after Tuesday storms caused widespread power outages and trees damaged. Duke Energy crews are ready to respond. Their main concern are trees falling that are damaged from Tuesday storm. Next on Fox 50, how the Triangle is commemorating Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Today's a WREL Weather Alert Day. We're looking at evening thunderstorms. A level 1 and 2 risk. Damaging winds would be our biggest threat. I'll walk you through it coming up.
Duke Energy crews are preparing for potential power outages after tonight's storms. Kels, coming up, we'll talk about what you can do at home to make sure that you can protect your home from damage.
Today's the day. It is the end of an era for Kevin Guskowitz as he spent his last day as UNC's chancellor before becoming Michigan State University's next president. That's where we are on our Friday right now. I hope you're having a good time at home. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for staying with us on your Friday WREL Weather Alert Day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. I mean, this is just, again, another WREL Weather Alert Day.
I've been saying to people, January is the new March, it seems. But January is coming next week. If you're hoping for some cold temperatures, we'll talk more about that coming up. But today, we need to get to it. It's a level 1 and 2 risk, a little different than what we saw on Tuesday, which was a level 2 and 3 risk. The main difference is we won't see as many storms becoming severe, but we certainly still have that potential for damaging winds and even isolated tornadoes. We also have a wind advisory that goes into effect at 4 o'clock and expires at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we'll continue to see windy conditions into early Saturday. We'll see gusts up to to 45 miles per hour. This storm definitely looking more powerful than it did this time yesterday. Currently, we have severe thunderstorm warnings and current tornado warnings with this system as it moves closer to us. We're starting to see some high thin clouds ahead of this system. We'll really start to cloud up once we get past lunchtime, and we have the potential for the rain to begin right around the time of the evening commute. If you're traveling westward, you're going to hit it even faster. These scattered cells, instead of one big line, are likely to produce some severe storms. But when we have that big line, like we saw Tuesday, that tends to be a stronger system. And so we still have the potential for severe storms, certainly starting at around 5 or 6, continuing all the way until midnight. And of course, we'll be tracking it for you all evening. When those storms roll through, turn on the TV and we'll show you where they are and what you need to do to stay safe. Winds will be gusting up to 40, 45 miles per hour, but some of those storms could produce winds up to 60 miles per hour. It's a dry commute this morning. We'll continue to see increasing clouds with gusts up to 25 this afternoon. And then, of course, we'll have the potential for severe storms this evening with a few isolated tornadoes. Clouds are starting to thicken up a bit there. It was over Sanford, looking at 34 degrees currently in the Triangle. It's been a cold start with 20s to low 30s this morning. We're starting to see temperatures creep up. It'll be a fast warm up this afternoon, mid-50s at lunchtime to nearly 60 this evening as the storms come in. Brian?
Elizabeth, it is 8:33. We're looking a lot better on our major routes around the Triangle with just a couple of trouble spots right now. On the south side of Raleigh, we had an earlier crash on 40 westbound around the US 1-440 interchange heading out toward Cary. That crash is cleared, but we still have had a little bit of a lingering delay there on 40 westbound, especially between South Saunders Street out toward Gorman Street, about a 7-minute delay overall. So just allow that extra time. Not unusual for this point in the morning commute. Not too much red on the map here, which is good news. We had some earlier delays on US 1 northbound around 540 coming in through Apex there. That crash has cleared, and a lot of that backed up traffic now is moving through the 55 up to 1010 road interchanges, creating a little bit of a slowdown. I am watching a crash in the north part of Durham, apparently a crash with injuries on Guest Road near Rose of Sharon Road. We are seeing some delays, especially on that southbound side of Guest Road heading through that area. Taking a look at your other major approaches into Durham, looking fine overall with no big delays on I-40 or I-85, and 885 is looking good in both directions as well.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Homeowners and Duke Energy crews are preparing once again for severe storms. This comes after a round of storms Tuesday caused widespread power outages and damage like this to homes in the Triangle. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live this morning. And Kelsey, these back-to-back storm systems have homeowners racing to prepare for this again.
Michelle, they sure are, and we are in reset mode. That's the message this morning from the folks here at Duke Energy. Their teams are restocking their inventory and gearing up for tonight's storm. I want everyone to look at this. This is inside of a home after a tree came barreling down during Tuesday's storms. A huge hole was left in the roof. People whose homes were damaged like this one are working to make repairs fast, racing to get the job done before storms come again tonight. WREL spoke with Jeff Brooks from Duke Energy. He says now's the time to clean up any leftover debris in your yard.
When we think about what we do, we try to clean up our system to make sure that there's not things left over that can cause future outages. Same thing's true in your yard.
And Brooks says the biggest concern at the moment is fallen trees. So those are trees that were damaged during Tuesday's storm that may not have fallen down, but wind from this storm could make them fall. He says that whatever happens tonight, they're prepared for any potential power outages. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
And you'll want to make sure you have the WRL News app on your devices for updates about today's weather. And be sure to turn notifications on so you'll get up-to-the-minute alerts to keep you and your family safe.
Breaking news, Fayetteville police are working to make an arrest after a shooting at an apartment complex left a person dead. Police were called about 9 last night to the Lake in the Pines apartments on Tamarack Drive, right off of Rose Hill Road. Officers found a man suffering from gunshot wounds. He died at the scene. His name and age haven't been released, and we're working to learn more about what led up to that shooting.
And we're also following breaking news in eastern Wake County. A man has been arrested in connection with a stabbing near Zebulon that sent a woman to the hospital. Wake County Sheriff's arrested Joshua Richards and charged him with assault with a deadly weapon. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. This happened just after 10:30 last night. Happened at a home on Hopkins Chapel Road near the intersection on St. John's Church Road. The sheriff's office says Richards knew the victim, identified as Lacey Eaton. Eaton had at least one stab wound. Investigators say this was an isolated incident.
Today, the Justice Department is expected to make a major announcement about a mass shooting that happened in Buffalo, New York, May of 2022. Families of the victims of that shooting at the Tops supermarket will be briefed about the announcement before it happens today. A white gunman went into that grocery store in a predominantly black neighborhood and killed 10 people. People who were killed included customers, employees, and an armed security guard. The Justice Department has not given any details about what today's announcement will be.
New this morning, six of the passengers on that Alaska Airlines flight where the door plug blew off mid-flight are suing Boeing. The lawsuit claims many on that flight were physically injured or emotionally traumatized. The lawsuit claims that it is the responsibility of the plane maker to ensure it's safe to fly. It requests a trial to determine potential damage amounts for the passengers. Reports say Alaska Airlines is offering each passenger a full refund, $1,500, and 24/7 access to mental health care.
Breaking news, a Navy helicopter with six crew members on board crashed during a training exercise in Southern California overnight, but all six crew members survived. This helicopter crashed into the San Diego Bay, and officials say because of the nature of that training, a safety boat was nearby and was able to rescue all those crew members. There's no immediate word on how any of those crew members are doing. The Navy officials say they're not aware of any life-threatening injuries.
Amazing. They survived. Wow. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy will be in Raleigh today to hold a rally. It's happening at the Marriott Crabtree Valley tonight at 6:30. Kennedy kicked off his campaign efforts earlier this month, hoping to land on the ballot in every state. As of right now, the only ballot he is on is in Utah.
Today's the last day on the job for UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz. He is leaving Chapel Hill after nearly 30 years at the school, including the last five as chancellor. He's moving on to Michigan State to become that university's president. In his time as UNC chancellor, Guskowitz dealt with issues like the pandemic and the removal of the Silent Sam statue. Lee Roberts will take over as UNC's interim chancellor. He's been a member of the UNC Board of Governors since 2021.
Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but celebrations start today in the Triangle. A wreath-laying ceremony will take place this morning in Raleigh at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Gardens. This is video from a previous year's event. The Raleigh Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance organizes the ceremony, which is in its 44th year. That's happening in 20 minutes at 9 o'clock.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the highly anticipated Producer Price Index report just dropped within the last two or three minutes. Take a look at the headlines right here, courtesy of CNBC. Wholesale prices unexpectedly falling 0.1% in December. This is actually a positive sign for inflation. Let's see how the markets are responding this morning. This is, of course, Dow futures. All morning long, most of the Dow futures have been in the red. Right now, you see S&P, Dow futures, NASDAQ futures, all fluctuating between the red and green. Of course, the PPI report is a key inflation metric that the Federal Reserve will look at when that body meets again January 28th. We'll have the opening numbers in our 9 o'clock hour right here on Fox 50.
All right, Ken, thanks. We look forward to that. A new study is showing just how much money plastic chemicals are contributing to the medical industry. Coming up, why doctors believe those chemicals could be linked to chronic disease and death.
Plus, a new high-tech creation could help end feelings of isolation and loneliness. Coming up, the new technology that lets you view large 3D holographic images of loved ones in your home. Welcome back. You are looking live at our studio tower. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. All is calm for now, but it is a WREL weather alert day. We will see more of that rain and wind push into our area later on. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is timing everything out for us.
It's a level one and two risk for severe storms. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat, and we're going to walk through it on Futurecast. We also have a wind advisory that begins at 4 o'clock, but lasts all the way into Saturday morning. Winds will start to gust this afternoon up to 25 or 30, and then up to 40, 45 miles per hour overnight tonight. That's really similar to what we saw on Tuesday. But the potential for severe storms is a little bit less. We take a look at this system, and it's looking much more powerful than it did this time yesterday. Lots of snow. This is going to be a big winter storm for folks across the upper Midwest and back into New York, New England. For the southern part of the country, especially the southeast, this is going to be a severe weather event. Again, we have tornado watches that are in effect right now. We'll zoom in a little more closely, and you can see the yellow boxes that pop up there are severe thunderstorm warnings, and the red boxes, there's one right there, is a tornado warning. So we have some ongoing severe storms happening right now down in parts of the deep south. For us, we're seeing increasing clouds out there right now. We'll see those clouds thickening up around lunchtime, and then the rain begins to push in between 5 and 6 p.m. On the radar, this won't look exactly like Tuesday. Tuesday, we had a powerful line of thunderstorms. Everybody saw that come through, and so we just saw a distinct line of severe weather coming through. This is going to be more isolated, so some scattered storms that could produce some wind damage. We could still have trees down, power outages, but we'll probably see fewer instances of that than we did on Tuesday. It all starts to move out around midnight or so, and then we begin to clear, but it stays windy overnight tonight and into early tomorrow. Winds are gusting to 25 this afternoon, gusting up to 40, 45 as we get into the night and into early tomorrow. Because of the rain that we saw on Tuesday and the rain that we may see tonight, the Tar River at Tarboro and the Roanoke River at Roanoke Rapids are likely to be at minor flood stage over the weekend. That means that the rivers will come up over their banks into the woods and the pasture land in those areas, not likely to flood any homes or businesses. And all the other rivers, at least the locations that we tend to follow, are below flood stage. So that is certainly good news. There's our tower with some high thin cloud cover. We're seeing that in Sanford as well, 34 degrees. It was a cold start this morning. We started in the mid 20s up to the low 30s. It's still 27 in Southern Pines, 28 in Roxboro, and 32 in Goldsboro and in South Hill. It will be a warm evening, as cold as it was this morning. By lunchtime, temperatures are in the mid 50s and will climb on up into the low 60s this evening as the warmth rolls in with those thunderstorms. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, though, cools down over the weekend. Highs will be in the low 50s. We start near freezing in the morning. If you're headed out to the Martin Luther King Jr. prayer breakfast on Monday morning, it will be chilly and a cold afternoon, too. 48 degrees under mainly cloudy skies. We're about to head into some of the coldest temperatures we've seen in over a year, with a high of 38 on Wednesday.
Day is Monday. There are lots of ways to remember, celebrate, and do service this weekend. WRAL Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan has the details and Out and About's best picks for the weekend, starting with MLK Dream Fest happening in Cary.
Cary has a lot happening this weekend, okay? Their Dream Fest celebration kicks off today and runs through Monday. On Saturday, there's going to be a huge event over at Cary Arts Center from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. There's going to be a cultural art show, food trucks, a community resource fair, an arts and crafts zone, and it's free to attend.
Also in Cary, the Chinese Lantern Festival. What a terrible way to close that down early because of the storm damage earlier in the week. Some folks, though, can still enjoy some fun featuring lanterns on Saturday, right?
This is really fun, okay? The third annual Under the Silver Moon Lantern Parade will be happening at downtown Cary Park on Saturday. You can bring a homemade lantern and join the parade. They even have a tutorial online to show you how to make your own lantern out of like a 2-liter bottle. They're going to have live music, food trucks. Admission is free.
We get to stretch a cold coming. Also, it's the final weekend to go ice skating outdoors in downtown Raleigh.
Yes, Redhead Amphitheater Outdoor Ice Rink in downtown Raleigh is going to be open through Monday. If you want to skate outdoors, you still have a chance at Cary's Fenton Rink. It's open through February 5th. So that's another opportunity for skating.
And for more on all these events, you can go to WRL.com and search keyword out and about. Kathy, thanks.
Millions of safety kits designed to prevent furniture from falling on children are defective. A massive recall is warning parents to do something before an accident happens. The recalled kits are made by New Age Industries. They include a plastic zip tie, two brackets, and two screws. That zip tie can become brittle and break. If you have a kit that looks like this and it came with a piece of furniture made in November of 2019 or later, it's likely part of this recall. WREL 5 on Your Side has a full list of the manufacturers that gave out the kits on our website. That's WREL.com. All you have to do is search recall.
Family and friends of a fallen Greensboro police officer gathered to celebrate his life.
A service for Sergeant Dale Nix happened yesterday afternoon at Westover Church in Greensboro. It ended with a 21-gun salute outside the church. Nix was remembered as a leader who put the community's most vulnerable first.
Sergeant Nix's extensive policing experience, coupled with an undeniable commitment to serving his community, especially the vulnerable. Victims of child abuse, domestic violence, sexual assault, and elder abuse. He charted a new era for our Family Justice Center, community, and nation. Sergeant Nix was transformational.
Sergeant Nix was killed December 30th when he tried to stop a group of people from stealing beer from a convenience store. Police say Nix saw the crime happening, and when he stepped in and approached one of the people, he was shot. Police caught those suspects in Winston-Salem.
Plastic chemicals are costing the U.S. healthcare system hundreds of billions of dollars. That's the takeaway from a new study of how a group of chemicals contribute to chronic disease and death. In 2018, that cost came to more than $249 billion. Medical experts say chemicals that make plastic more durable are believed to interfere with the body's mechanism for hormone production. That can damage development's reproductive, immune, and cognitive systems.
It was a big night for girls' high school flag football in Wake County. The Wake County school system partnered with the Carolina Panthers to officially launch a new girls' flag football league. It's a star-studded event here with celebrities out there. The event took place at Millbrook High School with team introductions and the reveal of the new uniforms. Even the Panthers mascot, Sir Purr, was there making an appearance.
It amazes me so much. Growing up in an environment with a great mom as a great role model and amazing girls that make me a better person every day, it makes my heart pound, and it's just such an amazing thing to see.
And Cosette, the girl you just heard from there, reached out to the Panthers with the idea to get the league started. The Panthers happily jumped in to help by giving Wake Schools $50,000 to help fund the Flag Football League.
Barbie is a big favorite for next month's People's Choice Awards. The movie got 9 nominations in film categories. That includes nominations for stars Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. Barbie is also up for Movie of the Year. Simu Liu is also nominated for his performance in that movie. He will host the award show. The People's Choice Awards will air live on WREL Sunday, February 18th. Marissa Abela takes on the role of an iconic singer, and John Krasinski and Natalie Portman play estranged siblings. Here's Ashley Dvorkin with that and more in today's Hollywood Nation.
Pretty cute.
A look at Larry's last season, Winehouse's life story, and Krasinski and Portman's search for eternal youth in the Hollywood Nation. John Krasinski and Natalie Portman have signed on to star in Guy Ritchie's next project. According to Deadline, the duo will co-lead Fountain of Youth. They'll play estranged siblings who partner up for a global heist to find the magic well.
Amy Winehouse.
Marissa Abella transforms into an iconic singer in today's first looks. The first trailer to the biopic Back to Black features the actor as late singer Amy Winehouse. The film chronicles Winehouse's early rise to fame and the release of her groundbreaking album, Back to Black. It premieres in theaters May 10th.
I think it's the happiest I've ever been in my life.
And Larry David returns for his final bow in the last season of his award-winning HBO comedy, Curb Your Enthusiasm. The first trailer for season 12 features David sporting new cat-eyed glasses and starring alongside series regulars, as well as new guest stars, including Sean Hayes and Dan Levy. The show returns February 4th.
I really did the best under the circumstances of a person who hates people and yet had to be...
That's all you can ask. Do your best. This next story is something out of a sci-fi movie. It seems like it anyway. Look at this new technology. They are called hollow boxes. And a company out of the Netherlands created this technology. It's like a hologram. People can create 3D hologram images using a camera, and their image can be projected anywhere in the world if you have a hollow box and Wi-Fi. Creators hope this technology will help end feelings of isolation and loneliness.
It's interesting. Before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.